You're listening to KTWH. I'm Katya Gordon. I'm your hostess this morning on Good Friday. And this morning I have a rather unusual interviewee in with me. Most of you know that this is a time to interview someone local from the community. And this, I think, is the first time I'm interviewing my father. And it's because the occasion is Good Friday. And the Reverend Dan Goodnow is a minister in the General Church of the New Jerusalem, or a retired minister, I should say, and also has taught for many years on the topic of both religion and history. So, Dad, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you for the invitation. I'm glad to be here.
I thought we'd start, Dad, with just sharing a little bit about yourself so that listeners can know who you are. I already mentioned that you're a retired minister and a teacher, but tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to be interested in well, Good Friday, Easter, and all things Christian, really, in that sense.
Well, I could go back and I could go on and on and on, but I'll just say that since I've been ordained, I've taught religion at a lot of different levels, often in classes and in church, and have been interested in other religions, and I think it's always been good for people who are learning to have the faith of their own chosen religion, to know about how other people think about things, both the similarities and then the differences. Probably the place where I did it longest and more effectively was at the college level, also at a theological school and in high school and younger than that. But especially in college, I did that and taught a lot of comparative religion and invited ministers from other faiths. We had rabbis. One of the rabbis was a survivor of the Holocaust. Also had some Muslims of different points of view come and speak at Little Bighorn College in Montana, where I taught comparative religion for several years. Little Bighorn College is a Crow tribal college. And at that school, we also included Native American religion, and I learned a lot about that, too. So I find different religions themselves very, very interesting, with a lot of similarities and dissimilarities. I find that many people like to look for the differences. What do you have that we think is wrong? And they like to look at the difficulties. At Crow, I learned that all prayer is good. They like all religions. And that gave me a point of view which I think was spiritually healthy for me and healthy for all people. That doesn't mean they agree with everything, but it means that that all prayer, all looking to God the Creator, is good. So maybe that's enough for now.
Yeah. Well, I know that when we were growing up, I mean, you taught many different courses, but the comparative religion one is the one that we heard about at dinner that night. Who was that? Who came that day, and what they said, and what the students wanted to learn about and what the discussion was. It was always something that enlivened our dinner table as well as your classes, I think. So, and I will also just mention that I have on this radio station interviewed people of many different faiths about their faith. And so maybe it's something that you've passed on to me a little bit. So here we are on Good Friday, and you are also a history person and have always been interested in history of thought. And I know that we grew up on a lot of learning about the Russian history and belief and religion and also Christianity, of the many different types of Christianity. And so can you start, Dad, by just sharing a little bit of what you know about Good Friday, since it is Good Friday today, perhaps the history of it, you know, and one obvious simple question, why is it called Good Friday if it's the day that Christ was crucified?
Maybe I should try to start with that first
okay.
one. Good Friday, that's an English term. Our day for Friday, the fifth day of the week, and also well, or the sixth day of the week, depending on how you count it. And also the word good, that's an English word. And in much older times, back in the earlier Middle Ages, it had a different connotation than it does. It has connotations, the word good had connotations and a feeling about holiness, about good in that sense. Holy, pious, it didn't mean only holy and pious, but it did have that meaning much more than it does today. And it was in that sense that they began to refer to it, the day that they were thinking about Jesus' crucifixion, as a holy day. It's called different things in other languages. It's very often called Great Friday, and many people call it Holy Friday in different languages. Different Christians call it those things, and it has other names as well. I can't remember them all. I used to think it was sort of a language corruption of God's Friday, but that's not so. It goes back to a very old English word from the Middle Ages, good.
Mm. Interesting. And then in the 2,000 years plus since Christ's time, obviously this is the way Christians have celebrated Easter has developed and grown and changed. And what can you tell us about the history of Good Friday and Easter also, the whole holiday? Well, I know this is a big question, probably way beyond what a short radio interview, but...
And probably beyond what I can really answer too well. In very early times, the Christian church, when it was really very interesting to me, they didn't record those things. And they did, I believe they did have meetings, often secret private meetings that were dangerous, as it is in some lands today, as in China. And they met to be together, to read scripture, to think of Jesus, to think of the resurrection of Jesus, and to think about the meaning of his crucifixion and then of his resurrection on Easter morning. Most of the people were illiterate. Throughout most of the history of the Christian church, the large majority of the people have not been readers. They have been illiterate people, and it was customary to have a lot of reading of holy books, holy scriptures. So that's the real beginning, the important beginning. Long about the 3rd and 4th century, the church was more organized. It became acceptable. You were less danger of getting persecuted or executed for being a Christian, and they had more formal activities. It was a time when Lent began, a 40-day period before Good Friday and Easter, when people would think about their own sins, about their own suffering, about their own evils, and think about what Jesus went through, and then try to see what they might do within themselves to become better followers, better disciples of Jesus Christ. And that varied a lot in different places, but that developed and eventually became formalized in rituals, in singing and service, in formal services, which became eventually became part of the recognized liturgy of the church in the East, which eventually developed into the Greek Orthodox and other Eastern Orthodox churches, and in the Latin West, led by the Papa in Rome, we now call the Pope, and they developed their own rituals in Latin and in Greek. So those became quite formal back in the Middle Ages and through the Middle Ages. And they still have a lot of the essence of that today. They have formal services this week, and there'll be a lot of church worship services on Friday, of course on Easter, beginning at dawn or at midnight.
Right. Do you know anything about the timing of Easter? Other than I mean, to me, there's an obvious idea that it's spring, it's new growth and new beginning, but why the timing of Easter and spring?
Well, unlike Christmas, we know exactly when it did take place. It was the actual crucifixion of Jesus was on the day before Passover. And during the day of Passover, nothing was done, although his body was had perished. So we can understand how Passover is timed. And it's on the 14th day of the Jewish month, Nisan, I think it is. Christians did not want to use exactly that timing. And so with Christians, they figure it comes to virtually the same thing. But I think it's the first full moon after the equinox, after the equinox when the days are getting longer than the nights, and then the Sunday after that, the Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox, that's how the timing of Easter is decided in the Western world that has taken the traditions from the Roman Catholic Church over the years. And the Eastern Orthodox has a little different system, and it gets a little complicated. There's been a lot of argument. It's amazing how much they argued about the date of Easter. Different Christians did. Passover and Easter are celebrated at are slightly different times, but it's always the spring. And it was then, from early times, associated with rejoicing in springtime. And I learned one thing, that exchange of eggs, that was something that has been done in celebration of Easter and spring going back many centuries. But it's primarily looking at the crucifixion of Jesus and then of his rising on the third day.
And then what more can you say about that? I know that's, as in a historical way, different denominations, is the way the Eastern Orthodox, the East and the West, do they look at Easter differently as to what it means as far as Jesus and the resurrection? Or is there a basic agreement about what it means?
Well, that's a really, really big question.
Yeah, I know.
I think you'd say that there is widespread agreement among just about all disciples of Jesus Christ that he was crucified on Good Friday, that he did that from his love for humankind, that it was an unjust thing being pushed and perpetrated by a few people, and it was a terribly unjust thing, and that it was a shocking thing, totally shocking to the disciples. He was put in the tomb, and on the way they counted it, the third day, it was really about a day and a half after it actually happened. But on the very early on the day, first day of the week, some women went to anoint his body. They found the tomb, a big rock in front of the tomb had been moved, and then they learned soon that Jesus was not there and that he had risen. And just about all Christians believe in the crucifixion story as told in the Bible and in his resurrection as told in the four Gospels. That's the history. They, I think, see it as history. But what did it mean? Christians, just about all of them, believe that it made a huge difference in human history. It was some kind of redemption and change in the whole universe in the way humankind and God are related to each other. Now, how that change happened does differ. There are different theories about three kind of major different ideas about the theology behind that. Originally, and the classic idea was that somehow Jesus's death on the cross, followed by his resurrection, somehow overcame powers of evil. It tricked the devil, or it outfoxed Satan in some way, and it restored freedom and goodness to the human race so that the human race could go on and could be disciples of Jesus and have a better life and live forever after that. That's not described too clearly in the Bible, and so the references to it in the Bible are kind of vague. But there was a feeling that Christ is victor; it's something he has overcome evil. In the Middle Ages and a little before that, there was the idea that because human beings had sinned, some kind of satisfaction was necessary to pay God. If you sin, even if you're forgiven, you got to pay some kind of satisfaction for the evil you did by hurting other people and by insulting God by doing the wrong thing. You had to pay a satisfaction. And the idea grew that for all this huge human satisfaction of evil, which was owed to God, but which was not had not been paid, that his son, Jesus Christ, came on earth and paid that satisfaction himself once and for all by his death on the cross. And after that, God the Father no longer held evil against and guilt against human beings and would save those who believe in Jesus, his son. And the third idea was that there wasn't so much a grand cosmic change, but Jesus set wonderful example in the way he loved people. He told wonderful teachings. He taught us how we should be, and we should look at his life, look at his love, look at the wonderful things he did, and become like that, emulate him and be like him. That's a third kind of a redemption. And I think all Christians believe that third one is true, that Jesus did do that, and that we should learn from him and his teachings. But there's a big difference between the first and the second one. There's lots more I could say,
yeah.
But those are three basic ideas about how we reconciled, about how he redeemed the human race.
Yes. And we are running out of time, as I knew we would. I'm speaking with my father, the Reverend Dan Goodnow, about the Good Friday, Easter, and sort of a historical perspective on what that means. Dad, do you have anything you want to add before we sign off here? Anything that you'd like to mention?
I think it's useful for Christians to and non-Christians to be thinking about these fundamental issues of life and death and what is the meaning of life and about the life hereafter. And I've personally gained a great deal from reading the writings of Swedenborg that has made many things sensible to me that I did not understand earlier. But I think it's good for everybody to think about these things from their own background, from their own understanding, and but don't be afraid of the big questions in life. Don't be afraid of the God question. Don't be afraid of the afterlife question. Don't be afraid of the really meaningful ones that have exercised human beings from, well, way back in Greek and Roman times, and before that, you can find the Israelites and the Jews and Moses asking the really big questions.
Thank you. All right, I'm speaking with Reverend Dan Goodnow, and this interview will be rebroadcast tomorrow, Saturday morning, between 9 and 11 a.m. Thanks again, Dad, for being with us here on KTWH.
Thanks very much for asking me and giving me a chance just to help celebrate this time that I consider a holy time.
You bet. Bye-bye.